About church. Jill, you need one of these. That's it. Do you remember cinemas when you used to go in and there used to be someone with a torch, you'd have to follow them to your seat? Do you remember that? And then the same one would appear with loads of showcases and... Remember that? Maybe not. Okay. Okay, turn to the person next to you and say, good morning, sister or brother. Hallelujah. I'm going to talk to you this morning about church and how amazing and wonderful the church is. And I'm not talking to you just about us here at Amazing Grace. I'm talking about the church across the whole world and everything that the church means to God and everything that the church means to us. And let me just read to you. I'm going to read to you from Matthew chapter 16 first. And I think it's, I don't know about you, but I love coming to church. Anybody else? Yeah, five over there. Okay, there's a couple over here. Honestly, I love it. When I became a Christian, and I'm going to tell you a bit more about this later on. When I discovered church, it was an amazing thing for me. Marion and I have been married 35 years. I was a little cheap we got there. Did you see that, do you? And we were, our first 14 years of our marriage, we weren't Christians. And then, you know, the rest of the time we've been Christians. And we don't argue very much. And because I know my place. But one of the things we do disagree on is what time to come to church. Because as soon as I wake up, I just want to be here. It's a good job we've got two cars. I'm often, you know, I'm with my coat on and, come on, are you ready yet? Come on, it's church, let's go. It's 8:30, chill. You know, but I just absolutely love it. And we should all love church in that way. And hopefully, you know, I can encourage you into that. Okay, let me just read to you from Matthew 16. This is, it's called Peter's Confession of Christ in the NIV. It says, when Jesus, this is from verse 13, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? Talking about himself. They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you, Peter, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, that is hell, will not overcome it. The Old Testament tells us that God is a great and awesome God. So it stands to reason that everything he does is absolutely awesome. And from the words, or from the lips of Jesus himself, the first mention of the church in English, as we understand it, is from Jesus himself. The first mention in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, comes from Jesus. Jesus was putting in place the church for our benefit. And he says, hell will not prevail against it. This church is going to be so powerful and so long-lasting that nothing's going to stop it. Jesus knew that he was headed for the cross, but he wanted the disciples to understand that he was going to build this church. It was going to be a new gathering of people, a new type of expression of faith, of church. And, you know, for Jesus and the other Jews, it was a welcoming in of the Gentiles, the Jews and the Gentiles coming together as one. And it was going to be permanent right through until Jesus comes back. The church will absolutely last. The gates of hell will not prevail. And he was absolutely correct. Let me just run through a couple of historical things about how the church has had everything against it and yet survives. So in the first century, you probably know historically, the Emperor Nero, there was a fire in Rome, which some people think he started himself because he wanted to clear some area for a new building project. And there was a fire in Rome and they blamed the Christians and there was a persecution of the Christians. And some people think this is probably when the Apostle Paul and Peter were executed in this persecution. And this was in the first century, a serious attempt to end Christianity and destroy the church. Into the second century, Trajan, the Roman emperor, he made being a Christian an offence. And you could be put to death for it. It wasn't just being put to death for being a Christian, but it was a capital offence. You could be committed to all sorts of torture and imprisonment, and you could be executed. And around about the same time, Pliny the Younger, he made it, or he encouraged Trajan to make it, law that if you were a Christian, you could be executed. So you were killed just for being a Christian. You could have all sorts of things going for you, but if you're a Christian, you could be put to death. But here we see a mention of the church. Clement of Rome, one of the early church fathers, he was born around about the time of the crucifixion, and in his writings, he talks about congregations, people together, the church together, Christians meeting together, congregating together, and being part of one another, working together. He talks about a people with mutual dependence upon one another like an army. But what a strange army we are. I was in the army. I know what the army's like. This is like an army, Clement said. Why are we like an army? We don't physically train together. We don't have an assault course that we do every week. We don't carry any weapons. We don't train to fight. We don't attack our enemies. The opposite. We love our enemies. We pray for our enemies. What kind of an army is that? A godly army that lasts and lasts and lasts, that endures for decades and centuries and thousands of years. Absolutely amazing. And this persecution against Christians continues. We know about the persecution against a whole load of people during the Second World War, particularly against the Jewish people. But before that, in this period up until 1923, there was a 29-year period when the Muslims in Turkey persecuted Christians, absolute genocide. 3.5 million Christians were killed in that 29-year period. And on the 9th of September 1922, the church at Smyrna, which is modern-day Izmir in Turkey, in Revelation chapter 2, you can read about it, it says, the church that will be persecuted. And Jesus says to them in Revelation 2 that to be strong even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life, Jesus says. And on that particular day, the Turkish army swept into Smyrna and slaughtered 400,000 men, Christian men and women and children in one day. It was at Smyrna where they set fire to the city, and as the wind blew the fire into the city and towards the sea, people were either burned in the fire or drowned in the sea. But there's still some Christians in Izmir in Turkey, where old Smyrna. And we need to pray for them. I encourage you in your prayer life, when you're thinking about church, don't just think Amazing Grace. Think of the church that Jesus was talking about, and pray for the persecuted church. I hope you do already in your prayer life. And it's one of the things we'll probably be doing on this prayer week, is praying for the persecuted church. Pray for them, brothers and sisters. They need our prayers. 3.5 million Christians, brothers and sisters of yours and mine, slaughtered in that persecution. In 1966, in the Cultural Revolution in China, one of the things they tried to do was stamp out Christianity. There's been all kinds of persecution in China against Christians. But in 2006, the head of the Communist Party's State Administration of Religious Affairs, and you know, I've been to Russia, and in communist countries, they often have someone who's responsible for religious affairs. It sounds good to us, but it's not good. This guy reported at a closed-door meeting at Peking University that the Protestants in China numbered around 110 million. Now, conservative efforts, calculations say that if the church grew by 5% during that time from 2006 until now, there's 188.5 million brothers and sisters of yours and mine in China. Is that awesome? I was inspired by this because I heard something on the news, just caught my attention just slightly, something on the news this week about in the year 2030 or something, it says Islam is going to overtake Christianity. Really? Well, actually, no, it isn't. The church is growing, silently, unheard of. It's amazing. Goodness knows how many Christians there are actually in China at this time. And at our conference in September, we're going to have a Chinese feel about it. Not food, some of you are thinking. Okay, but there's going to be a Chinese element to the conference that we have in September. And I encourage you to come to that and learn about the church in China. I encourage you to come to that. It'll be absolutely awesome. The church is awesome. I've had the fantastic privilege of traveling to different churches. You know, you might hear Christians say things like, the trouble with the church today, as if we know the whole church. How can we possibly know? I don't even know every church on Teesside, let alone the whole church. But I have had the privilege of traveling. When Martin was went itinerant, we traveled all over the place. And it was great. Sometimes I just kind of drove him there and didn't do anything in the meetings and drove him back. But it's a privilege to go to different churches and see how they work and different settings. And I've been to different Catholic churches. I spoke at an Alpha Supper party at a Catholic church in Hull. It was absolutely amazing. The nuns did the food, which was outstanding, I have to say. They were so encouraging. So encouraging. And I had the privilege of going and spending, it sounds funny this, I spent a night in a convent. They asked me to go and speak in Hull Prison and with these nuns. So the day before, I went down and I stayed. They had a little annex where you could stay. And I stayed in this convent. And this nun, it was a fantastic place. It was an old people's home, right, which was run by nuns. Can you imagine that? Gorgeous. And all the old people in the home, they were all retired nuns. And all the sort of slightly younger nuns, who looked pretty old to me anyway, they were all looking after them. And it was gorgeous. And this nun showed me into this little sort of place where I was going to be staying. And she said, this is the kitchen, make yourself some tea and coffee. And then she opened the fridge, and there was two cans of beer in the fridge. And she said, I put some beer in the fridge because I know men like beer. I thought, what kind of men does this nun know? I thought, just gorgeous. It was beautiful. And the next morning, Sister John, she was called, Sister John showed me to the chapel. She said, after breakfast, I've got something to show you. I said, all right. So after breakfast, she says, come and see the chapel. She took me into the chapel. It was really quiet. All these nuns kneeling and praying. Our presence of God was powerful. We could learn something about what real devotion and prayer is from many people in the Catholic Church. Absolutely awesome. What a privilege to travel to these different churches and meet brothers and sisters all over this nation and others worshipping God. Be encouraged about the church. Don't believe what the media tell you. The church is growing. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. It will grow and grow and grow. And when Jesus comes back, it'll be massive. It's awesome, and you should know that. It's also very relevant to us individually. When Peter preached at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, he told people to repent and to be baptized, and it says, and 3,000 men were added to their number. Added. Some people sort of think about membership. Oh, I don't believe in membership. And, you know, you don't have to be a member of a church. You can go where you like, and you don't have to be in one church, and you can drift around and do stuff. Well, you know, you're free, and you can if you want. But that's not what we see in the Bible. Ask people to repent and be baptized, and it says 3,000 were added. And in Acts chapter 4, it says the number of men grew to about 5,000, so there'd have been women and children as well. So goodness knows how many that was altogether. The number. They counted people in. Because the church has things to do. It's important for the church to know, are you with us or not? If you're just visiting, that's okay. If you're the sort of person who can only make it to church on a Sunday and there's so much going on in your life that you can't make it, that's absolutely fine. But my encouragement to you is don't live your whole Christian life like that, because there's stuff to be done. There's work to be done. Are you in or out? Because we need some things to be done. We've got work to do. We want to advance the kingdom of God. We've got things to do. There's work to be done. You know that, don't you? There's work to be done. Get involved. If you struggle with membership of church, brothers and sisters, heaven is going to be hell for you, isn't it? Because it's going to be full of Christians. And when I read about the church, when I read about heaven, it's church in heaven. It's like There's worship. Chris, or keep playing that guitar. There's worship in heaven. There's singing. Wow, it says there's work to do, actually, in heaven. Things to do. Well, this must be a good place to practice. My experience is that people that attend church regularly do better than people that don't. And I encourage you to be a regular attender. And like I said at the beginning, I am not making a plea for Amazing Grace Church. I'm talking about the church. If this isn't the church for you, find a church. If you find yourself drifting from church, which can happen from time to time, for whatever reason, you're drifting from church, you're feeling detached, and you want to move on, for goodness sake, brothers and sisters, make sure you start going to church. If you leave, for example, if you left us today, join another church next Sunday. Get yourself into church and be part of the body of Christ and enjoy it. If you don't enjoy it here, don't stay. Go somewhere where you're happy and you can fit in. Again, one of the early church fathers in the second century, Tertullian, he spoke about membership. He spoke about it a lot, actually, about members, about members giving the money. Chris was talking about giving, about members giving money, about members doing things together, about loving one another in all sorts of different ways. Membership of the body. It's important, and the Bible talks about membership of the body, and I encourage you, but if you're going to be a member of the body, where are you going to work? Where are you going to serve? Where are you going to commit? Where are you going to take part? Where are you going to help extend? Christ's church is his church, isn't it? What are you doing to extend his kingdom? Now, like I said, you know, you might be busy and have all sorts of other things to do, and it might only be a little bit, but it should be something, because it's fun to get involved. Remember, Jesus' parable of the talents. He gives the talents. The story is a man gives talents to people, asks them to look after it and make it grow. The man goes away on a journey. It's this story, all the parables about us and Jesus. The man goes away, he comes back. One man has used his talent and increased it. And it's Jesus saying to this man, you know, well done, good and faithful servant. The next man's done the same. He has slightly less talents, but he does something with it. Well done, good and faithful servant. The next man who was given talents did nothing. And Jesus said, you wicked, lazy servant. And then he says to the others, throw him out. Oh, it's not very nice, is it? It's harsh. There is something that you can do for the church, whichever church you're in. It's important. We're the bride of Christ. My first pastor, Ian Kirby, used to say, imagine me with a wedding dress on. And he'd think, no thanks. And he was a big guy, you know. But he said, we're the bride of Christ. We should please our husband Christ together. We're his bride. Let me just read you some scriptures about membership. And this is membership of the body of Christ globally. But there's also how we connect to each other locally. I'm going to read you a bunch of scriptures. Romans 12. Just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Hey, I belong to you, and you belong to me, and you belong to each other. Do you feel that or not? It's a challenging scripture, actually, isn't it? In a family, there are members that belong to each other. Mums and dads and brothers and sisters. They belong to one another. And the Bible is talking about our sense of belonging. The Apostle Paul is talking about us belonging to one another. Do you feel as if you fit in? 1 Corinthians 6:15. Do you know that your bodies are members of Christ Jesus himself? Again, 1 Corinthians 12. God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. No division, but equal concern for one another. To be concerned for one another and care for one another. The challenge in scriptures is interesting, where Chris said, people are hard to love. That's interesting, isn't it, sometimes? But there should be no division amongst us. And we should have equal concern for each other. Ephesians, and I recommend Ephesians to you as a great book about church. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. Therefore, and this is again Ephesians 4, therefore each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. Again in Ephesians 5, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. And finally in Colossians 3, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. So, I hope that those scriptures once and for all convince you that membership is important. You come to faith in Christ, you're a member of the body of Christ, the universal church. The Apostle Creed talks about one holy Catholic church. The word Catholic means universal. It's one church on the earth. Yeah, there's lots of different expressions and denominations and things, but brothers and sisters, we're all one family. I think of it like children. And, you know, you get lots of children in a family and they have the characteristics of the mother and father and they have some characteristics of each other, but they're individual, aren't they? They have individual personalities. And I think church is like that. So if we take all of the churches on Teesside, for example, we have some things in common, but we have different types of personality, different things that we might emphasize, you know, different things that we're interested in. But the basic principle of our faith is exactly the same. Same Bible, same communion, same beliefs. We've got a membership course starting. Yippee! Listen, if you've been in the church from day one, why wouldn't you want to come to another membership course? One of the great things about being one of the leaders here is we're expected to go to most things. You couldn't keep me away anyway. I would just love to be there. You know, I'm usually the first there because I just, you know, I'm a type A person and something's happening and I want to be the first there. And I'm not trying to prove anything to anybody. I just can't stay away. You know, I've got my coat on, my Bible's under my arm. I'm stood next to Marion. She's eating her breakfast. Come on, let's go. I mean, we came in separate cars this morning and I was literally set off 5 minutes before you, didn't I? Literally. I couldn't wait. I just could not wait. I love it. Come to church. Come to the membership course on the 2nd of April. Let's enjoy one another's company. Let's have fun together. Let's have tea and coffee and fellowship together. Let's pray together. Let's talk together. Let's meet together. Why wouldn't you want to do that? I just encourage you to come to that. The church is important for us individually. I think of the difficult things I've been through since I became a Christian. Where would I be without the church? Martin gave me a piece of advice when I very first became a Christian. We were talking about church. And he said, stick with the church on everything and it'll save your bacon. Bacon doesn't say bacon in the Bible anywhere, but either way, I just think it was just Martin's words. But he just said, stick with the church, whatever's happening, stay in church. Great advice, good advice, and I pass it on to you as well. It's important for us individually. Being part of something, it's awesome. You know, when revival comes, the power of the Holy Spirit is poured out on the church. And I've been in places where that's happening. In Bogota, where there's 500,000 people in one church. I worked this out the other day, did the maths. There's 8 million people in Bogota. There was 500,000 people in one church. And I'm sure I've told some of you about it before. You know, they met in a 25,000-seater football stadium, indoor. They had one rule in there. You weren't allowed to jump up and down because they were worried the building might collapse because the worship was full on. The worship lasted 2 hours and 50 minutes one night. It was awesome. Absolutely awesome. And you could only go to church sort of, you know, they had about 9 meetings on a Sunday and you could only go once a month because there just wasn't enough room. So about 1 kilometre away, a kilometre away, they all piled into this football stadium for a guest service. And there were 70,000 people there. Just unbelievable. The guy who was preaching, a guy called Cesar Castellanos, he gave his testimony. It's an impressive testimony. Part of his testimony is the drug dealers in Colombia tried to assassinate him because so many people were becoming Christians. It was impacting their trade. And a guy on a motorbike pulled up alongside them and shot into the car, shot him and his wife several times. They both survived. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. He gave his testimony. At the end, he encouraged people to come forward. No music playing. There was no sort of emotional stuff going on. He just encouraged people to come forward. I got my camera out. Martin tapped me on the shoulder and said, "You're not going to take a photograph of those people, are you?" I said, "Yeah, I'm going to take a photograph of these people. I'll give them the lives to the Lord." He said, "You'll have to wait because look behind you." And I looked behind me. And there's people pouring down the steps to come to the front, silently walking forward to give their lives to Jesus. Thousands of them. Powerful. And when the Holy Spirit pours out his power on us and brings revival to this town, if you haven't worked for it, it won't matter. You'll be able to enjoy it anyway, but I just want to encourage you to be a part of working for it if you can, if you have the time, if you have the capacity to do it. Find somewhere to serve the body of Christ. Find somewhere to work, and you will be blessed. Believe me, you will be absolutely blessed. My encouragement is that when you do stuff for church, the church gets a little bit of a blessing from you, but you get most of the blessing from it. It's important, finally, to us as a family as well. Let me just read to you again from Ephesians. I nearly said Ephesians then, whatever that means. Okay, get my little torch out. This is great, this, because this is the Apostle Paul talking about husbands and wives. And he talks about husbands loving the church like this. Can you imagine if Marion said to me, "The grass needs cutting"? I'm like, "You're right, I'll do it after tea." I get the lawnmower out, Marion looks out of the window, and I'm across the road cutting Denise's grass. Okay, she sees me over the road, I'm cutting Denise's grass, I get back in. She says, "What are you doing?" "That's what you said, the grass needed cutting, I'm cutting Denise's grass." "Yeah, but what about our grass?" "Well, grass is grass, isn't it? It just all needs cutting." "Well, anyway, I know you're off next week, and so you've got a week off, so I was thinking maybe you could decorate the kitchen." "Or I can't next week. I've promised Joanne that I'm decorating her kitchen next week." Marion's like, "Yeah, well, what about our kitchen?" "Well, a kitchen's a kitchen, isn't it? Joanne's as important as you, you know, to me, so I'm doing Joanne's kitchen." "Okay, well, should we watch a movie tonight?" "Ah, not tonight. Diane's invited me round, and me and Diane are going to watch a film together. Is that all right? Because Diane's important to me as well." Well, this is what the Apostle Paul says. "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless." Jesus gave himself up for us. There's more to being a Christian than just coming to church and worshipping and listening to a preacher or whatever. There's other things to do for God. Now, if you're busy and all you can do is pray for the church, wow, thank you very much. Your life might be, "Well, actually, you know, I work long hours. I literally can't commit to these prayer meetings. I can't commit to any type of work that needs to be done in the church." Brothers and sisters, that's absolutely fine. But please, please, add us into your prayer life. Pray for the universal church in your prayer life, and pray for your own personal church. If it's here at Amazing Grace, pray for Amazing Grace. If you're from another church, pray for them as well. In my prayer life, I pray for all of the pastors that I know around Teesside, and generally for the church on Teesside. Our brothers and sisters, they are. Again, Clement of Rome, writing about the church in the first century, spoke about these things, that you could recognize a good church. He said it was teachable. People were willing to learn. The people were friends with one another. They loved one another. They were prayerful people. And let me just plug this prayer week. I'm not looking at that prayer week thinking, "Oh, I wonder what I can get to." I'm going to bust a gut to get to everything, because praying together is powerful. The people were reverent. In other words, they feared God. They were doers. They did stuff. They worked. They were generous with their possessions, with each other sharing things, and with their finances. They were worshippers. They were happy. And they were good looking. In other words, they looked good to people on the outside. The church, one of our roles is to look good to people that are not in the church, have a good reputation with outsiders, the Bible says we should have. A good reputation. There's something about us. It says in Corinthians, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. The modern world is all about equality. It's all about equality for years, and they've changed it now. Now it's diversity. I wish I'd made the mind up. Basically, it means the same thing. We're all equal. No, we're all different. Okay, we're all diverse. We're all different. But the idea is they're trying to treat everybody the same. But in church, it's not like that. The church talks about us being one. So it doesn't matter that we have differences from the world's perspective, because we are one here, aren't we? We don't sit in little groups, do we, of like, you know, all the academics sit with Tom. That's why he's on his own. All the school teachers sit over here. That's why Sarah sat on her own. It's not like that, is it? All the soldiers sit over there in green. Whatever, you know. All the professors sit over there. All the people that struggle with alcohol will sit them here so we can keep an eye on them. It's not like that, is it? It's a load of rubbish. That's the world. Stuff the world. Well, naturally, not stuff them. But we love them, don't we? Cut that out. But here, it doesn't matter what you are in the world here. I remember going to a church one and I said to this guy, what do you do in church? He went, oh, nothing. I went, really, nothing? He sat a long way forward for someone who does nothing. I said, what do you mean, nothing? He said, well, I'm a businessman. I run my own company. I've got loads of people work for me. And my gift to the church is the money I give. I give generously to the church, so I don't do anything in it. I thought, you snob. I thought, well, he's just using the money as an excuse not to do anything, which isn't right. I thought, you fit young man, he should be doing something. He's in his 20s, this guy. I thought, he should be doing something. I don't know what my point is about that. Anyway, oh yeah. We're all one together. We're all brothers and sisters here, aren't we? In a family, you might have one child that's doing brilliantly well and one child that's probably not doing so well in life. Which one's loved the most by the parents? It's the same, isn't it? Which one is valued most by the parents? No, it's the same, isn't it? It's the same. Brothers and sisters, it is like that here. We're not perfect because we're not in heaven yet. Where people who make mistakes, you should walk through those doors with your head held high because God loves you. We were singing that song, you know, there's nothing good in me. Actually, Holy Spirit lives in us. Jesus lives in us. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of good in me and there's a lot of good in you. Walk through those doors with your head held high. Worship the Lord with your whole heart. We are loved by God. He's amazing. When I first went to church, I became a Christian, and before I'd been to church, and I think it was my niece's husband said to me, you need to join a church now. And I went, oh, okay. But inside I was thinking, church? There's no way I'm joining a church. I'm going to be with a bunch of Christians. I love Jesus, but I'm not going to church. That's what I was thinking. And then my niece phoned me, we found a church near where you live. I thought, thanks. So I went. I thought, well, I'll go, you know, so I can tell her that I've been. So I went, and it was at West Street in Yarm, Emmanuel Fellowship it was called then. I was driving up and down, I had the window down looking for it. I was with our Mike, who was 10 at the time, and I heard this song, Jesus, Lover of My Soul. And we'd sang it at my brother's funeral the month before. My brother was a Christian, he was an elder in a church, he died. That was how I came to faith in Christ. Before he died, praise God, he saw me come to Jesus before he went to the Lord himself. And I heard this song. Oh, we went in. Our Mike was 10. The guy in the door, a guy called Graham, welcomed us in, shook hands with Mike, so he felt great. They ushered us into the front. There was only two seats left. It was packed, and these seats were on the second row. So my first, I'm on the second row. Can't believe it. I cried all the way through the worship. How powerful it was. Powerful. This young, handsome, slim guy in his late 20s got up to preach, Martin Ruddock. He hasn't changed a jot. And I can't remember what the preacher's about, but I remember the stories. Hilarious. Absolutely fantastic. It's a powerful time. I went back the following week, took our mic, the guy in the door, Graham, recognised our mic. Hiya, Mike, and shook his hand. Mike felt fantastic. And I loved that. It was absolutely brilliant. And then slowly, gradually, got involved with the church. I went on an Alpha course there. There was a young guy, age 16, serving on the Alpha course, a guy called Dan Cooley. He was always smiling, always happy, polite, absolutely lovely guy. Just I watched him and thought, this guy's amazing, wonderful. But Dan was destined to become, and is, a phenomenal worship leader, wonderful singer, great musician, wonderful. He was destined to become a worship leader. And I asked him recently, I said, you know, I was reminding him of this story, and he said, oh yeah, I used to serve because my dad, one of his dad was an elder in the church. His dad was one of the elders, sorry. And his dad used to say to him, serving always trumps gifting. So he always used to make us serve because you're not necessarily doing your gifting all of the time. You're not worshipping all of the time. So he used to get him to serve. And our Mike came to faith in Christ sometime later with our other son, Andy. And when Mike was struggling later, went away from God a little bit, but when he was coming back, the person who took him under his wing and helped him with his singing and his guitar playing and worship was Dan Cooley. Absolutely wonderful, wonderful thing. Just amazing. And I love being part of church. Is that your experience? Do you love being part of church? Do you love God's church? Do you love his universal church? Jesus paid a very high price for us. Jesus went willingly to the cross for you and for me. When you take communion, it is a powerful thing, isn't it? You know, I was agreeing with Sarah. Part of me wants to, like, dance to communion because it's just such a powerful thing. I came to faith in Jesus Christ. I was overwhelmed that somebody could love me so much, know all about me, and yet totally love me. That all of the things I'd done wrong in my life meant nothing to Jesus. Meant nothing to him. It was all about what was coming. Dying on the cross for my sin and for your sin. What an amazing Savior. And then he sends his Holy Spirit to live in me and to live in you. And then he brings us all together in his church, the church that he is head of. He is the chief shepherd, the great shepherd, the good shepherd. Jesus, isn't he awesome? Is there anything else he can do? Oh, yeah. He's going to come back for us. When we gather here as a church, Jesus is with us. It says angels are gathered with us. The Bible talks about a cloud of many witnesses with us. It's amazing, isn't it, church? Powerful thing. In a way that being on our own isn't. People come into church often and say, wow, or someone's, you know, becomes a Christian and says, the first time I walked in, it was like coming home. It is exactly like coming home. Powerful. I remember when we were in the other building, we had a service one morning. A lady came in. She was invited by a friend. She got there before a friend. She walked through the doors and burst into tears. Gloria led her to the Lord in the coffee time before the service even started. Because Jesus is here with us. Should we just close our eyes for a moment? If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you need to know this. He loves you. He loves you. And you are not here by accident. You are here because the Holy Spirit himself drew you into this place. And he loves you. He loves you so much. He died on the cross for your sin. All of your sin, everything, every thought, word and deed, your darkest secrets, Jesus paid the price for all of them. And all we have to do is thank him. While every eye is shut, if you are here today, you don't know Jesus and you'd like to, then you just quickly lift your hand. If you don't know Jesus and you'd like to, then you lift your hand to him. Okay, you can put your hands down. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your great love for us. We thank you that you care for us. We're sorry, Lord, where we criticize one another. We're criticizing your body. We're criticizing something that you wanted us to do. We're criticizing your bride. And Lord, where we've done that, where I've done that, I'm sorry, Lord. God bless your church today. God bless your church in China. God bless your church in Turkey. God bless your church on Teesside. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Amen.